Good morning. Today is Daf Pesachim Lamed Tes. We are on the very top of Lamed Tes. We're starting with the Mishnah. And our topic today will be one singular topic. It's going to be the mitzvah of Achilas Marur, the eating of Marur on Pesach. Eating of Marur on Pesach, as far as the Torah is concerned, is done in conjunction with the Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach, which we're going to be discussing extensively in this Masechta. We haven't really touched it yet. It's going to be Prakim 5 through 9. But together with the mitzvah of eating the Karban Pesach, so there are two other foods that are eaten together with the Karban Pesach, and that's matzah marur. The Gemara later on will tell us that when there's no mitzvah of Karban Pesach, i.e. there's no Beis HaMikdash, so then there's no mitzvah of eating marur midda araisa. Nevertheless, the Chachamim instituted that we continue to eat marur bizman hazeh, even though we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So the mitzvah of Achilas marur is a mitzvah derabanan bizman hazeh. As opposed to the mitzvah of matzah, despite the fact that the Torah says that we're eating matzah together with our Karban Pesach, but the mitzvah of matzah can exist independently that of the Karban Pesach, and therefore, the mitzvah of matzah is in fact the mitzvah bizman hazeh midaraisa. So a really interesting split between matzah and marur bizman hazeh. Matzah bizman hazeh is a mitzvah daraisa. Marur bizman hazeh is a mitzvah derabanan. There is an opinion we'll see later on that even matzah bizman hazeh is derabanan. But we'll discuss that later on, but that's not the predominant view. The Mishnah over here is going to tell us what vegetables qualifies marur. Marur has to be bitter. That part's clear. Rashi brings down, it's pretty clear. The reason why we eat marur, meaning the tamei mitzvahs, as far as reasons of the mitzvah is concerned, so generally speaking, the Torah does not give the reasons behind the mitzvahs. That's not always true. Sometimes the Torah does give reasons behind the mitzvah, but when it comes to the mitzvah of marur, it's kind of self-evident. Rashi points out that in the beginning of the Shibud of Mitzrayim, the pasuk says, "Vayimaruru es chayehem," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu embittered our lives when we started our slavery in Egypt. So as a result of that, the marur there is to remember that bitterness. So the marur has to be a bitter vegetable. That part's clear. The remainder of today's daf is going to deal with the technical aspects of what vegetables can be used for marur, and what exactly, which vegetables are exactly going to have that bitter taste. So you recall the Mishnah back on Lamed Hay, so it told us which grains could be used in order to make matzah. There are 5 grains in total that could be used to make matzah, and I'm sure it's of no coincidence our Mishnah is about to tell us that there are 5 different types of vegetables that could be used for marur. Unlike when it comes to the grains, it's very clear in the Mishnah back on Lamed Hay that it's those grains and those grains alone that could be used for matzah. No other grains could be used. In fact, if you recall, back on Lamed Hay, so the Gemara said, you know, our Mishnah is proof positive that we don't paskin like Rav Yochanan Ben Uri. Rav Yochanan Ben Uri says that rice can be used to make matzah, and by virtue of the fact that the Mishnah didn't write rice, so that means to say that clearly it's a refutation of Rav Yochanan Ben Uri's position. Meanwhile, over here in our Mishnah, although our Mishnah lists 5, but it could very well be that our Mishnah actually has a broader window in terms of what could be used as marur. Part of that question is going to be contingent on how to explain the fifth example of marur. You'll see, as we're going to see in just a moment, of the 5 categories, the fifth one is going to be called actually marur. Now, is marur a particular species of vegetable that's bitter? Or does marur just simply mean anything that's bitter? Now, if it's the former, so then we have a list of 5 and that's it. But obviously, if it's the latter, so then the way to understand our Mishnah is that our Mishnah is just giving us examples of marur, but it's not limited to that. With no further ado, let's start with the Mishnah. Mishnah begins, Ve'eli Yirakusha Adam Yotzei Bahem Yedei Chavaso BePesach. These are the vegetables that a person can fulfill his obligation on Pesach for the mitzvah of marur. And they are Chazeres Tamcha Char Chavina Ulshin Uvamarur. So there are 5 different types. Now, one of the challenges and frustrations of the Mishnah is that we don't fully have a good handle on what these items actually are. And so we have good guesses in terms of what they are, but we don't know. And the Gemara is going to explain and Rashi is going to explain. But obviously over the years, though, a lot of the Masorah is gone in terms of what they actually are. I'll highlight when Rashi helps us out over here in terms of identifying. As I mentioned, the fifth of the vegetables is called marur. So again, 2 possibilities of what that may mean. That may mean that there's an actual species called marur, or it just simply means any vegetable that's bitter. Continuing in the Mishnah, Yosem em bein lachem and yaveshim, you can fulfill your obligation whether they are still moist, fresh, or even if they're dried. avalokavushim, but if they're withered, it's no good, veloshlukim. And if they're cooked, it's no good, velomuvushalim, and if they're cooked, they're no good as well. Shlukim and muvushalim are both cooked. According to Rashi over here, shlukim means that it was cooked really well, to the point where it's almost falling apart. And muvushalim just simply means it's cooked. Either way, it's not going to be acceptable. The mur has to be in a raw state. Now, what you could do is you could take any of the examples that we use in our Mishnah that would qualify as marur, and they can combine in order to get to the shear of a kezayis. Mishnah is assuming that we know that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of marur, you must be eating a kezayis, the minimum amount, the base minimum amount, in order for it to qualify as an achila. And so therefore, you need a shear. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that you can have a composite of any of the vegetables mentioned above, and that would qualify as a shear. The yotz mekalach shelahan. Now you could use the leaves, you could also use the stalks as well. Uve demai, uve meister rishon shenet lachumaso, meister sheni vehekter sheniftu. And then just as a callback to what we learned back on Daf Lamed Hey, you can learn, you can use the marer that is demai, and Maaser Rishon where the truma was taken off, and the Maaser Sheni or the Hektish that was redeemed. Go back to the Gemara in Lamed Hey for a detailed discussion of what are the Chidushim of the Mishnah over here, and it brings us back. Rashi over here, just I want to highlight, I'll highlight two Rashis over here in the Mishnah before we go on in the Gemara. Look at the last Rashi in the Mishnah, Uvidmai v'Maaser Rishon ava b'tevel lo. So Rashi says, but you can't use tevel. Now Rashi goes on to write, now tevel of course is anything that's not tithed. The chumas and meisers were not taken off. So even though the taking off of chumas and meisers on vegetables is a din de rabbanan, meaning, as we've discussed time and again, which fruits are obligated in the chiyuv of chumas and meisers, so Rashi and Tosfos throughout Shas say that it's only grapes and olives and the five grains, but nothing else is chayiv min haTorah in hafreshes chumas and meisers. However, the Rambam is of the opinion that all fruits are chayv and chumas and maisos. Everybody's in agreement, or the majority of the Rishonim are of the agreement that that vegetables are not chayv and chumas and maisos midaraisa. So therefore, when talking about how these agricultural laws intersect with marur, so we're talking about a din derabanan. Good, so says Rashi. But then Rashi says something which is interesting, which is havile mitzvah haba ba'avera dumya da'atishen unakov da'amran bepirkin. So Rashi writes over here that if it were tevel, which is prohibited, albeit midrabanan, still one would be subject to the mitzvah haba ba'avera, that you're trying to fulfill the mitzvah with stolen items, and obviously you can't do that. You're going to be violating the rule of mitzvah haba ba'avera, which is discussed extensively in the third parak of Sukkah. Just as an interesting note, a really interesting note, is that we have now been discussing a lot in the Gemara about eating possibly foods that are prohibited and whether or not one could fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. You will notice that throughout the entire discussion that we had in our Gemara. Now this is day 5. We had Lamed Hey, Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches, Lamed Tes. Right? This is day 5 of the discussion. The Gemara itself never utters the words mitzvah ba ba'aver, despite the fact that the Gemara had plenty of opportunities to do so. And it's only Rashi tucked away over here on Lamed Tes and Aleph, when talking about Marur and the Tevel of Marur, so Rashi over here invokes the idea of mitzvah haba ba'avera. So it is a discussed issue why our Gemara is over here, when given the opportunity to introduce us to mitzvah haba ba'avera, doesn't do so, and only in the Gemara's in Sukkah, in the context of Lulav Gezula, Esro Gezula, there and only there does the Gemara invoke the idea of mitzvah haba ba'avera. Okay, good. So that point obviously needs further clarification, but it's certainly a really interesting idea to consider. Number two, second Rashi, just want to highlight in the Mishnah, is that if it's pickled, it's no good. Kvushim, you'll forgive me, I said it was withered. Okay, so that was a mistake, I was wrong. So kvushim means that it was pickled. It was pickled in what? So so Rashi over here says bechometz. So it was pickled in vinegar. So you're going to find Rashi consistently throughout Shas, whenever talking about the pickling, which is a form of cooking. Kavush kimavushal. Right, that's the Gemara in Chulin. So so Rashi writes that in order for it to be pickled, it's not enough for it to be in water, but rather it's got to be in vinegar. Rashi says that the pickling that is tantamount to cooking has to be in something that is strong, like vinegar. So presumably for Rashi, water is insufficient in order to render it something which is kavush kemevushal. Okay, just another important point to consider. The Gemara starts off the discussion. We're starting with the Gemara in Lamed Tesim and Aleph. Chazeres Chasa. So here the Gemara now is going to be giving us definitions of that which is mentioned in the Mishnah. Chazeres is the number one Mara mentioned in our Mishnah. So what is it? So it's Chasa. So what's Chasa? So it's lettuce. Take a look at Rashi over here. For our Spanish speakers, Chasa, Rashi writes lechuga. So it's lettuce. So lettuce is the number one item mentioned in our Mishnah as the way the Gemara understands it, as the way Rashi understands the Gemara. The Ulshan is Hindivi. Number two of our Mishnah, number four of the Mishnah, the Gemara here, for whatever reason, is going out of order. I don't know why. The number four of our Mishnah is Ulshan, and that's endives, presumably. I could be right about all these things. We are simply unsure. Tamcha, that's the number two item of our Mishnah. So Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Temchasa Shema. So it's called Tamchasa, meaning the Aramaic word Tamchasa is, in fact, the definition of the Mishnaic word Tamcha. Char Chavina, that's the number three item of our Mishnah. Amar Rishim and Malakish. Atfasa Dedikla, the soft reed that grows around the palm tree. Right, the soft vine, I should say, that grows around the palm tree. Uvemarur, and then the last item of our Mishnah, number five, that's Mirarisa. Okay, so again, one of two possibilities. Either the Gemara over here speaking about a specific species that's called Mirarisa, or it could just simply mean any vegetable that's bitter. Tanibar Kapara, so here we're going to see a couple of brisas over the course of the Amud Aleph that are going to highlight which vegetables qualify as Mara. So Tanibar Kapara, so we're going to go through a brisa bar Kapara. And these are the items that one can fulfill his obligation. So a list, Ulshin, Tamcha, Charchalin, Charchavinan, Uvechazarin. So here in this list, so it's not the same as our Mishnah, it's not the same order as the Mishnah. Also another observation, the Charchalin mentioned in this Braisa is not at all to be found in the Mishnah. Okay, so so this Braisa almost coordinates with our Mishnah, not exactly. The order is also not the same as our Mishnah. Good. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af ulshe sadev ulshe gina. So Rabbi Yehuda says you can take the ulshin of the field, the ulshin of the garden. Vichazeres. And then also chazeres is also going to be acceptable as well. Chazeres being the number one item in our Mishnah, here in the Braisa, it's tucked all the way at the end. The Gemara over here immediately comments on the Braisa, ulshe gina vichazeres, hatan le reisha. Now the ulshe gina, if you look at the Braisa, it listed the items, the vegetables that can be used for Mara. Number one in the Braisa is Ulshin. And then Rabbi Yehuda says, Ulshe Sadeush Ulshe Gina. Like, isn't Rabbi Yehuda just repeating that which the Tanakhama said? So, Hachikamar, Af Ulshe Sadeku Ulshe Gina Vichazeres. So the Gemara says, no, what Rabbi Yehuda is clarifying is that the Ulshe Sadeh is just like the Ulshe Gina. As Rashi explains over here, it has the Shem Levi. It's a subspecies. One might have considered that this subspecies is no good. That's the Gemara's clarification that it is good. Rebbe Meir Omer af asvas vitura umar yiruar. So Rebbe Meir adds what seems to be three additional vegetables that would qualify as marur. Amalei Rav Yossi asvas vitura echad hu umar zehu yiruai. So the Gemara gives a quick clarification that asvas and tura are really one in the same species, and the mar is what is described as yiruai. Okay, further attempted clarification of what's being taught in the Braisa. Again, for us, it's really difficult because we really don't know exactly what these vegetables are. Or I'll say it better. I don't know what these vegetables are. Tani debe Shmuel. It's taught in the Braisa of Shmuel, in the Academy of Shmuel. Eli Rakushadam Yosei Mayim Deo Chavasa BePesach. These are the items that one can fulfill his obligation. And they are Chazeres Ulshin Tamcha, Char Chavinan, Char Ginin, and Har Dufnim. So here in this Braisa, so again, very similar to our Mishnah, a lot of overlap. Four of the items mentioned by the Tanakhama of this Braisa overlap our Mishnah, Chazeres, Ulshin, Tamcha, Charvinin. I'm assuming it's the same thing as Charchavina, right? A one-letter difference. Anyway, Charginim and Hardufsim are mentioned in the Braisa and are not mentioned in the Mishnah. Okay, good. So it is not a total overlap from the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer here continuing in this Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af Chazeres Yulin veChazeres Galin. He adds also the Chazeres of Yulin, the Chazeres of Galin. Again, they're subspecies of Chazeres. and Rabbi Yehuda is coming here to highlight that they're acceptable. Kayotze Bahem, similarly, Rabbi Lai Omer Mishum Rabbi Lazar. Af Arkav Layim. Now the Arkav Layim is also a type of vegetable. Again, I could only try to help in terms of what it is. I'm not sure, but I know this. Arkav Layim, super controversial, right? It made its way into a Mishnah in Adios. And it's super controversial as to whether or not it is acceptable. Right? Obviously, it would be much more helpful if I could tell you what it is. Anyway, v'chazartia kol tamidav v'vikash li chaver. Now, I went around and I wanted to see if I can get anyone to corroborate with me that the Ark of Lime is in fact acceptable. V'la matzasi, but I couldn't find anybody. U'kishabati l'fnei Rebbe Lazar ben Yaakov hodu l'dvarai. Then I went to Rebbe Lazar ben Yaakov and he says, you know what? I'm with you. Ark of Lime is good. Rebbe Yehuda mer koshe shlo straf. Rebbe Yehuda says, if you want a telltale sign of that which is acceptable to be used for maror, so if it's got a sap, meaning basically if you break the leaf and you find some sort of white sap coming out of the leaf, out of the stalk of the leaf, so now you're on the right track. That means that it's a maror approved vegetable. Rav Yochanan Broka Omer Kol Shepanav Machtzifim. So if its coloration is somewhat pale. Not quite sure exactly what the Gemara here is looking for. The Rashi says, Eino yarok ma'od kikarsi, ela paldash. It's not super green, but it's a lighter green complexion. Okay. Acheim omrim, and according to others, it says, kol yarok ma'od yesh lo sraf upanav machzifim. Any bitter vegetable is going to have sap, and it's going to have a lighter green complexion. Okay. Amrav Yochanan, that brings us to the end of the brises. The Gemara over here just has some quick commentary. Rav Yochanan teaches us, Medivri Kulan Nilmad, Yerek Ma Yesh Lo Sraf, Upanav Machzifim. Good. So Rav Yochanan says, observation from every position that we saw in our Mishnah, if the vegetable has got sap and it's got a lighter green complexion, we're good. It serves as a good maror. Am Rav Huna Halacha Kachem. Rav Huna says that's the halacha. Ravina Ashkechela Rav Achabrei Deravadava Mahader Amarisa. So, Ravina is finding Rav Acha, son of Rava, and he's looking for the particular vegetable of Marisa. Here you get the impression that the Marisa, which we described at the beginning of the Gemara, is not a generic vegetable, but a specific type of vegetable. You get that impression from this story. Amalei Maidai Tech Demarin Tfei. Now, he says, look, you're clearly looking for a particular type. Now, why are you looking for that particular type? You can think it's because it's the most bitter. Go back to our Mishnah. Now, what we're assuming over here is that within our Mishnah, whatever is mentioned first, so that's what you should be looking for first. Meaning, when you're on your shopping list, when you're going shopping for Pesach, for Marur, so it should be any of the five items mentioned in our Mishnah, specifically in the order mentioned in our Mishnah. So first thing first, find Chazeres. Now, if you can't find Chazeres, then go after Tamcha, and if you can't find Tamcha, et cetera, et cetera. So, the challenge over here is, why are you looking so hard for the Marisa? Why don't you look for the number one item mentioned in our Mishnah, Lugo for Chazeres. V'tandebe Shmuel Chazeres. And not only that, in the Brisa, Rebbe Shmuel that we saw earlier, so it was Chazeres. Not only that, V'amar Rav Oshia Mitzvah B'Chazeres. And Rav Oshia says that the number one item to be used for the Mitzvah Marer is going to be Chazeres. Okay, so we have a lot of evidence that would indicate that Chazer should be number one. Why are you going for something else? The Amar Rava my Chazeres, Chasa. Now Rava taught us already that Chazeres is Chasa, which as Rashi explains, so that's the lettuce. So my Chasa. Now let's try to analyze the word itself. The Chas Rachmana Ilavein. The word itself also helps us remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had compassion upon us, meaning that our lives were embittered, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had compassion upon us. It's built into the name itself. And so therefore, that's another reason why Chazer should be good, because of its name. Interesting note, by the way, obviously, is that it's not the name mentioned in the Mishnah, it's the Aramaic description of its name. So, but still, nevertheless, since we all call it that, another helpful reminder in terms of what it represents. Why is the embitterment and the enslavement of Egypt considered like maror? Take a look at the maror in general. The maror in general starts off soft, and the longer that it stays in the ground, the harder it's going to get. Same thing with our our stay in Egypt. It started off soft, meaning yes, we worked for the Egyptians, but as Rashi over here explains, we worked for money. Eventually, we ended up transitioning into slavery, but it started soft and then it ended hard. And the maror vegetable is a great memory tool because it started off, it starts off soft, and the longer ground it stays hard. So Amrle Hadribi. So after having received an earful about how he was looking for Marisa, and now it was shown to him in many different ways that that's not the number one, but the number one rather should have been Chazeres. So he says, okay, you know what? You're right. I can see the point. I'm going after Chazeres. Amrle Rav Chuma Labai Mimai Dahai Marer Min Yeriku Ema Marisa Dekufya. So the Gemara says now, you're so convinced that maror is a vegetable. How do you know that maror is a vegetable? The Torah just simply says maror, and what do we know its definition? What do we know as to its definition? Okay, so you're going to find these types of discussions back in Sukkah as well in the third perek. In that, when the Torah gives us an item and the Mishnah assumes its definition, so the Gemara just spends a couple of minutes challenging that assumption. How do you know? Now, what it could be, and the Rambam writes like this, is that we know because we have a Masara. And as part of the Halach L'Moshe Misina, as part of the Torah Shabbat Peh, we just simply know that Maror is a vegetable. But what the Gemara wants to do, however, is try to attack this problem using other methods and other limudim in terms of helping us arrive at the conclusion. So again, it could very well be that this is just simply part of the Masara, that we know this, but if we use the other ways of darshaning, we're going to arrive at the same conclusion. How do I know that maror is a vegetable? Maybe the Gemara first starts off. It's mirarisa de kufya, a bitter part of the fish. Okay, so dumi de matzah, ma matzah gedule karka, mar gedule karka. So the Gemara immediately knocks that off because that matzah and maror we know are related, meaning that the Karban Pesach is eaten together in conjunction with the matzah maror. They're placed in the same pasuk together. It would seem to indicate that they both grow from the ground. We know matzah for sure grows from the ground, so we assume that maror also grows on the ground as well. Ve'ema hirduf, the Gemara says, now why don't we suggest that it is the hirduf? Now the hirduf, says Rashi, is etz she'imtik bo Moshe es mei mara. It's a tree that Moshe threw into the mei mara, into the bitter water, and neis besoch neis, Rashi points out, shu'a yamar v'hu hirduf. So this particular tree is really bitter. Now I am not quite clear right now what the Gemara is suggesting, meaning if we're talking about a tree that's inedible, it's really difficult to entertain the idea that you're going to be eating your Karban Pesach with basically the twig of a tree. Maybe the Gemara over here is talking about the leaf of the tree. Okay, I'm not sure. Anyway, dumi de matzah. Ma matzah min zraim, af mar min zraim. So the Gemara says, no. Matzah we know is a zera, it's a seed, it's an edible seed. So too, the same thing with a maror, it's going to be the edible seed. It's going to be the bulb of the vegetable. The ema, or the bulb of the vegetable, or the or the leaf of the vegetable, but it's got to be something that's vegetable-like, just like the matzah is a seed. It's not a vegetable, but nevertheless, it's a seed. Ve'imar yirzifu. Okay, now at this point in time, the Gemara is making suggestions that are really difficult to understand. Yirzifu, Rashi says, is a type of seed that's used as a poison for animals. Okay, it's really difficult to understand why the Gemara is even entertaining the idea that this is what we're going to be eating. So, and why does the Gemara just not reject it out of hand? Simply because it's animal poison? Now, what you have to say, I mean, you're just going to have to say it, is that it's poisonous for animals, but it's not poisonous for humans. Okay. In any event, dumi d'matzah ma'matzah shenikachas because of ma'aser, of mar shenikach because of ma'aser. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why I know we're not right, because matzah is something that you could purchase with the money of your Maaser Sheni. We just spoke about that yesterday. So too, the maror is something that you're going to purchase with the money of your Maaser Sheni. And this here, Zifu, you're not purchasing with the money of Maaser Sheni. It's not enough of a food item. Amle Rava Barav Chan Labaye Ema Maror Mar Marurim. Ema Maror Chad Marurim Ksiv. So the Gemara suggests maybe it's one species, meaning our Mishnah says five different species, and as we went through the brises today, it's more than five different species. So the Gemara says, maybe it's just one. So the Gemara says, no, because the Torah says mirurim in the plural. The ema mirurim trei. So the Gemara says, maybe mirurim is really two. Dumya damatza. The Gemara says, no. Ma'amatza minam harbe, afmar minam harbe. Matza has many species, mar also has many species. And it could very well be, I already made this point earlier this morning, that is why our Mishnah gives us a listing of five, because it's really a parallel to the matzah. Matzah's got five grains, mar also, our Mishnah gives us five. But as I already pointed out, it could very well be that's not limited to five, but just simply as a parallel structure, that's why our Mishnah mentions five. Amar Rava, Bar Ravuna, Amar Rav Yerakosh, Amru Chachamim, Sha'adam Yotze Behem Yedei Chavasa Bepesach, Kulam Nizraim Ba'aruga Achas. Okay, the Gemara teaches us now a kalayim halacha, as it relates to the maror, you can plant it in one row. So the Gemara says, now wait one second, lemeimer d'leis bo mishum kalayim, you're obviously trying to tell me that maror is not subject to kalayim. The Gemara says, meisiv rava, but let's consider now a mishnah in kalayim. One of the first mishnahs in kalayim, chazeres v'chazeres galim v'ulshin, v'ulshay sadeh krishim krishay sadeh, kuzbar v'kuzbar sadeh, chardal v'chardal mitzvi, v'dalasa mitzvi v'har mutza, Eina klayim ze beze. So none of the items that are just mentioned in this Mishnah, and again, forgiveness please for not giving definition to what these items are in the Mishnah, but none of these items are going to be subject to klayim. And the Gemara continues, chazeres v'chazeres galim in, chazeres v'ulshin lo. So what is not going to be subject to klayim? When I take chazeres and a subspecies of chazeres. But if I were to take chazeres and ulshin, so the critical way of reading the Mishnah, the deek would be that would in fact would be kalayim. So, v'chitim akulubah dadikatani luhu. So the Gemara says, now, maybe that's not the right way to read the Mishnah. Meaning, go back to the Mishnah, reread the Mishnah. We're not going to do that right now. But reread the Mishnah. And maybe the way to understand the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is all inclusive. The Mishnah is not to be paired off, but rather any of the items mentioned in the Mishnah, you're allowed to plant with any of the other items mentioned in the Mishnah. Maybe that's the right way to read the Mishnah. The Gemara says that's not the right way to read the Mishnah. V'amar Rav, zugos ketani. So Rav says that the correct way to read the Mishnah is to pair off the Mishnah. Meaning what the Mishnah claim is telling us is that Chazeres and Chazeres Galen. Ulshin and Ulshay Sadeh. In all those cases, they're not going to be klayim zebezeh because they are species and subspecies, and planting species and subspecies together is perfectly fine. I'll tell you what's not fine. What's not fine is to plant chazeres and ulshin together. So, we are now at a standoff because the statement that was made is that you're allowed to plant all these different types of vegetables in one row. And meanwhile, the Mishnah in Kalayim, as now we properly understood it, is that no, that different vegetables cannot be planted in the same row together. Okay, so what we need now is to clarify, meaning the Mishnah stands as we just learned it. So we got to go back now to the statement regarding Aruga Achas, and it needs clarification. So the Gemara now looks to clarify. So clarifies the Gemara. Sorry. The zugos ketani. My nizraim. So the Gemara says dama rav. So when Rav says that they can be planted one row, so that needs to be revisited and reinterpreted. And the Gemara explains nizraim kehil chasan. So what you could do is you can plant them in the proper halacha. Kehil chasan tanina. The Gemara says, wait one second, Rav. You're telling me that there's a certain way, there's a certain pattern in how to plant seeds so that you don't violate the issur of kalayim. So the Gemara says, thank you, Rav, for giving us information, but we already knew that information. Meaning it's the Mishnah climb, we saw it already back in Shabbos. Aruga, we are now on the top of Lama Testament base, Aruga, Shishi, Shal, Shisha, Tfachim, when I have a patch, a field that is 6x6 Tfachim, so Zarim Betocha, Chamisha, Zir Onim, so you can plant five different seeds, Arba al Arba Ruchos, Haruga. So what you're going to do is that you're going to plant the four perimeters with four different seeds. Right, as we went back to Shabbos, go back to Shabbos, the Gemara in Shabbos gives us a configuration of how this is to be done. But v'achas b'amtzah, you're going to plant one seed in the center. So over here, in terms of configuration, we know the configuration, but we don't need Rav to teach us configuration. It's a Mishnah in Kalayim, it's a Mishnah back in Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Ma'u detei mahani milibizraim aval b'yirakos lo kamash malan." So the Gemara says, well, I might have thought that configuration is only for seeds, but not for vegetables, and the Chiddush is no, even for vegetables. The Gemara says, even that I'm not ready to hear. Lamemer Dirakos Alima Mizraim. Now it's funny. What the impression you're giving me is that Yerakos are more sensitive to Kalayim than that of seeds. The Gemara says, but that's not true. Vatzanan, we learned in the Mishnah, another Mishnah in Kalayim. Kol mine Yizraim ein zorim ba'aruga achas. Kol mine Yerakos zorim ba'aruga achas. So the Mishnah says that when it comes to seeds, they cannot be planted in one row. And when it comes to vegetables, they can be planted in one row. So So the Gemara says, okay, now I might have thought that Mara falls under the category of seeds. Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, that's the Chiddush of Rav. The Chiddush of Rav is that it doesn't fall under the category of seed, it falls under the category of vegetables. The Gemara says, Zeraim Sakdatcha, you really mean to tell me that we entertain the idea that Maru is Zera and not Yerek? Let's go all the way back to our mission of Atanan, Yerakos, Vitini Bar Kapara, Yerakos, Vitini Debe Shmuel, Yerakos. So, you know, did you hear all the Mishnayos and Brysons that we learned this morning? We're talking vegetables. No one would have entertained the idea that Maru it falls under the category of Zera, of seeds. Chazeres itzirichlei. The Gemara says, well, really the Chazeres is something which is a bit of a chiddush. Why? Because Salka dat chamina hov v'sofalak shos nesav le'rav chatfei. So, look, when it comes to the Chazeres, it's going to harden. You leave the Chazeres long enough in the ground, so it's going to harden. So, so therefore what I might have thought is that I would need more space for it, meaning that it doesn't follow the regular spacing of Kalayim. I might have thought that I need more space for it. So that's the Havamina. So Lav Amar of Yosef Rebbe Chanina Kelch Shokruv Shuksha Marchivan Lo Beis Rova. So in fact, we have another halacha of that of Rav Yosef Rebbe Chanina, that I have the stalk of a kruv, right? Generally, we say it's some form of cabbage. Anyway, that it becomes very hard. So it needs a Beis Rova. It just needs more space. So Amma came to Sofalakshos Yavin Le Rav Chatfei, Hachanami, Nesiv Le Rav Chatfei. So therefore now we have a Havamina. We now put together a Havamina that since it gets hard, so therefore it needs more space, the regular spacing is not going to qualify. So Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is, know that even the regular spacing is going to be fine. Okay, so a good portion of today's daf, dealing with the question of whether or not the vegetables mentioned in our Mishnah are in fact going to be subject to the regular rules of Kalayim. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara, we're on Lamed Testament Beis. We are at the two dots Yotamem Bein Lachem Bein Yaveshim Amar Avchista Loshenu Ela Bekelach. As far as whether or not it would be good, whether it is whether it's moist or whether it's dry, so the Rav Chista qualifies. That's true as we're talking about the stalk. Aval be'alin, but if we're talking about the leaves, Lachen and Yaveshim Lo, so that's only when it is moist, not when it's dry. The Gemara says, now I'm reading the Mishnah, and the Mishnah does not seem to read that way. The Mishnah says, at the end, Bekelach Shalahen. So, regarding their stalks, Mechlal Dereisha Alin. So it sounds like the Reisha is talking about the leaves, meaning a simple reading of the Mishnah would seem to indicate that this idea that whether it's dry or whether it's wet applies both to the stalks and to the leaves. So the Gemara says, okay, but let me share with you how I think you should read the Mishnah. Perushika mefarish. Ki ketani bein lachem en yaveshin. When the Mishnah says whether it's moist or whether it's dry, a kelach. That's going only on the stalk and not on the leaves. That's how you're going to have to read the Mishnah. Meitzvah, the Gemara is going to challenge Rav Chista once from a braisa. Yotzim bahen uva kelach shalahen. You can use any of the vegetables, you can use the stalks. Bein lachem en yaveshin divrei mimir. Whether it's wet or whether it's dry, according to the Shita of Rebbe Meir. V'chachamim ormim lachin yotzin bahem, yaveshin ein yotzin bahem. Rebbe Meir says that, according to the Chachamim, you could use lachin, but you cannot use yaveshin. You could use moist, but you cannot use dry. V'shavim, now they agree, she yotzin bahem kemushin. You could use them when they are withered. Aval lo kevushim, but not when they are pickled. V'lo shalukin. And not when they are cooked. Below, mevushalim, and not when they're cooked. Klal shel davar, I'll give you the basic rule. Kol sheyesh bo tamara, yotzim bo. V'chol she'ein bo tamara, ein yotzim bo. As long as it's got a bitter taste, it works. If it doesn't have a bitter taste, it is not going to work. So, tirgama akelach. So, once again, as far as whether it's dry or whether it's moist, we're going to say that that is modifying the stalk, not the leaves. Okay, so the Gemara over here really endeavors to defend Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says that where it doesn't make a difference whether it's wet or dry, it's only talking about the stalk, not about the leaves. And the Gemara attacked Rav Chisda two times over. The Gemara defended Rav Chisda one more brisa. Ten Rabbanin Yosef and Kemushim. You can't use them if they are Kemushim, withered. Mishum Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Tzadok Amri Yosef and Kemushim. And the brisa brings an alternative viewpoint, which is that you can use it even if it's withered. Okay, one more round of intersection between other laws of agriculture and in this case, maror. Can I use the Meister Sheni, maror of Meister Sheni, if I'm eating it in Yerushalayim? So the Gemara says, once again, we're going to go back to Lamed Vav and we're going to remind ourselves of the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Haglili. So he says, look, according to Rabbi Akiva, for sure it's going to work. If it works by matzah, according to Rabbi Akiva, which is a din d'araisa, so for sure by mar, it's going to work. That too is a din d'araisa. It's going to work by mar, which is a din d'rabbanan. What is a din d'rabbanan as it relates to mar? So over here, Rashi. Rashi says the din d'rabbanan is not talking about mar bezman alzeh, although mar bezman alzeh is a din d'rabbanan, but rather what we mean by mar being a d'rabbanan is that mar is a vegetable, and vegetables are not chayiv in trumas ha'maisros midaraisa, only midrabbanan. And Rashi for a moment entertains that the d'rabbanan by mar is the fact that it's bezman alzeh. So Rashi says, well, if it's bezman alzeh, then there's no maaser sheni. So that's a very difficult pshat. So therefore Rashi says that the d'rabbanan over here is the fact that it's not chayiv and maaser sheni midaraisa, only midrabbanan. So again, so according to Rabbi Akiva, the fact that I can use maaser sheni, which is a chiyuv d'araisa, a maaser sheni d'araisa, and that works for your mitzvah of matzah, so for sure by your mar it's going to work. So kiti ba'ala chaliba de Rav Yosef Glili, the question stands for Rav Yosef Glili. My. Ben matzah d'araisa d'lo nafik. Remember, shitas Rav Yosef Glili, it doesn't work. Maaser sheni of matzah does not work. That was the shita of Rav Yosef Glili that we discussed back in Andaf Lamed Vav. Avamar d'rabbana nafik. So I might have thought that maybe that's only for matzah, which is a din d'araisa, but maybe for d'rabbanan, the chachamim relaxed the rules a little bit. Odimba called the takan rabbanan, came d'araisa takan, or maybe no. Maybe that the takanas chachamim is always patterned after the d'araisa. Amarava mistabra matzah marer. So Rava says, look, here's what makes the most sense. That whatever would qualify, whatever works for matzah works for maror. Whatever does not work for matzah does not work for maror. And therefore, for Rabbi Akiva, if it works for matzah, it works for maror. And for Rabbi Yosef Glili, if it doesn't work for matzah, it does not work for maror. Okay, Ad Kan. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Tomorrow we return back to the halachas of matzah, and specifically chametz. Chametz, a big part of today, of tomorrow's daf. Anyway, let's quickly recap. We learned today one topic and one topic only, and that's maror. Isn't it interesting that we went through the entire daf today and not once did I say the word horseradish? Where's the horseradish after a full daf of learning about maror? Meaning lama testim and psachim, that's the daf related to maror. So where was the horseradish in today's daf? So if you go back to the Mishnah, so it's very possible that the tamcha, the second item mentioned in the Mishnah, is in fact a reference to horseradish. Again, this is not a new discussion. It's a really old discussion in terms of trying to identify, define what the items are in the Mishnah, and it could very well be. And there's going to be a major debate amongst the poskim. And again, this is not a new discussion in terms of what's preferable. Should we use lettuce, which we think is the number one item mentioned in the Mishnah? That's the chazeres. That's the chasa. Rashi describes it as a lechuga. That's the lettuce. Right, when you eat lettuce, is it bitter? Yeah, it could be. Right, some parts of it are bitter, some are not. Some lettuces are more bitter than others. Right, people who do eat lettuce go after romaine. It's an old debate whether you should get lettuce, whether you should get horseradish, whether it's a combination of the two. Right, there's an argument to be made that horseradish is not bitter; it's rather sharp. That's a different taste altogether. Okay, these are topics that are important, right? Obviously, halacha l'maisa, but it's just interesting that you could do an entire daf of maror and not once utter the word horseradish. It could be that it's tucked away there in the Mishnah as the number two item of our Mishnah. We're just simply not totally sure. Okay, anyway, let's review. Our Mishnah over here goes over the five different vegetables that one can use in order to fulfill the mitzvah of maror. The Mishnah says that you can use them whether they're dry, whether they're moist. The Mishnah says pickled, cooked, it doesn't matter if it's partially cooked or fully cooked or overcooked, that's not going to be good, that's not going to be acceptable. It's got to be eaten in its raw state. You can take any of the items and combine them in order to get to the shear of a kezias. You can use the stalks of these vegetables as well. And if it's demai, maaser rishon, where truma is taken off, or maaser sheni, or hektish, which is redeemed, all that is going to be perfectly acceptable. In the Amud Aleph of today's daf, we spent a good part of it going over a number of brisas that went over other types of vegetables that also have the bitter taste. In an exchange that takes place between Ravina and Rav Acha Barei Derava, so clearly the Chazeres Techasa of our Mishnah is not only the number one maror, but it's the number one maror, meaning it's the first of the Mishnah, and it's really the most choice of the marors that one should look for. The Gemara for a couple of lines entertains the idea that maybe maror is not even a vegetable. Maybe it'd be some bitter part of a fish. Maybe some plant, some branch. Maybe it's not what we think it is. So the Gemara uses drashas in order to get to the conclusion that we already know. No, it's a vegetable. The Gemara then went on to discuss kalayim as it relates to maror. Despite the fact that it is a vegetable, it's still subject to kalayim. One is allowed to grow to plant in the same field a species and its subspecies, but even as for vegetables are concerned, they have to be spaced appropriately. Good. That's the Gemara discussed that as it relates to the vegetables of our Mishnah. And finally, the Mishnah says that you can eat the vegetables whether they're dry or whether they're moist. Rav Chista says that's only talking about the stalk. That's not talking about the leaf. The leaf only will qualify as maror, only when it's moist, not when it's dry. And the Gemara attacked, but the Gemara ended up defending. And the last discussion of our daf today is that what if I have maror, which is maaser sheni, I'm eating in Yerushalayim? For Rabbi Akiva, we know it's going to work. For Rabbi Yosef Galili, would it work? Would it not work? Would it be maybe by virtue of the fact that it's obligation of maaser sheni is only a din de rabbanan? Maybe the chachamim were more makel? The Gemara discussed, the Gemara concluded that for Rav Yosef Galili, just like by matzah, maaser sheni does not work, so too by maror, maaser sheni, that too does not work as well.